Blog Talk Radio.
Cool. Can you hear me, Craig? Hello? Try this again. All right, Craig, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. I'll wait for Chris to call back in. It went and unmute him for some reason. It unmute the rest of us. But anyway, I want to welcome everybody listening to Race Chat Live with Chris and Craig. Hopefully, Chris will be joining us. I'm assuming he's got his voice back as well. Well, I wanted for him to call back in. I want to make sure that I thank Fit for Life, Carolina Sports Plus. Without these great marketing partners, we wouldn't be able to do what we do. I want to make sure that you guys check us out on Twitter at OneTenNation, like us on Facebook, OneTenNation Sports. Also, check out the site, www.110nationsports.com. Chris, I got you back in the studio. There you go.
All right, take three. Race fans, how the hell are you? It's Chris.
Well, we're
and
better than
another
you.
Episode of Race Chat Live. Glad to have you on this Thursday night as I strained to have a voice. That's right, race fans, I screamed my voice out this past weekend at Talladega Super Speedway. If you weren't there, well, shame on you, because that place was packed out house. People had a great time. We've got a lot to talk about this evening. Of course, Monday night was not a good night. I was just then kind of losing my voice, and I still have not found it. But thank God there is another voice of the show, and that, my friends, is Mr. Craig Moore. Craig, how the hell are you?
Well, I'm better than you. Is your mangina doing okay tonight? Because you're
it's
complaining.
Doing quite well after I stuffed it with cotton.
Oh, my God, you sound like a buddy of mine who was sick for 4 months and he couldn't get rid of it, 4 or 5 months. But I'm glad to hear you're feeling better. You got a voice. And nobody has smacked you on the back to give you an attaboy because you'd scream. But listen, I just got one question for you. Austin Wayne Self has been reinstated just 1 month after being indefinitely suspended by NASCAR. So here's my question. I'll ask you first, and then if we have time, we'll ask Jason. But do you think it's too soon? Do you think he paid his penance?
Considering that we've never got a presumed guilt from Austin Wayne Self, nor have we gotten a confirmation of what it was that he may have failed the test for, Craig, you know, it's unfortunate that the fact of it is it's unfortunate that we can't make a true enough assessment. It is not unfortunate that we don't know the reason, because that is privacy. And I think in this day and age, privacy is harder and harder to have. And at least whatever it was Austin Wayne Self did, without his public announcement of what it was that he failed the test for, we're all left to kind of wonder what it was that he had to go in for, which in return makes it very hard for us to speculate on and very hard to talk about. Especially in that kind of question. Now, whether or not if it meant 30 days of after smoking a marijuana joint, well, you know, I think that may be a little bit too soon. But if it was something on the terms of a steroid or possibly a Claritin use, you know, something that was supposed to be prescription-wise that they found in his system, depending on the situation, I don't see any problem with it. I'm sure that the drug testing policy does not stop there, and he'll continue to be evaluated and tested again throughout the season, Craig.
All right, I was just curious to see what your take was on that. I thought when I came across the wire today and I saw it, I was like, wow, that was 30 days ago. So, and you're right.
Well, what's your take on? I mean, I must have been pretty satisfying if you don't have a rebuttal.
Yeah, because you clarified that we don't know what it is. He didn't come out and say what it was, which I find kind of odd. In and of itself, I would think that if it was something major, he would have wanted to come out and say what it was. But like you said, it could have been Claritin. He could have taken his girlfriend's Claritin or whatever for his allergies. And lo and behold, he went for a urine test and they popped him.
Right.
So, I mean, but there again, you should, being in a sport to where you know they're going to drug test you, you probably shouldn't put anything in your mouth that didn't come from your doctor specifically.
Well, and yes. I think it makes it a lot easier as well, Craig, when your father owns a race team. You know, AJ didn't really do much wrong either. We had him come out and admit that he had taken a pill that was not prescribed to him, and it was something that he thought was going to help him stay awake at the time, and then it wound up costing him the best job he'll ever have. And what only could have been had AJ Allmendinger kept his ride at Penske Racing, which eventually, you know, Joey Logano was the replacement of AJ Allmendinger, and Joey Logano goes off and wins the championship. I'm not saying that AJ was as talented as Logano, but AJ had worked his way through the years and had you know, earned that ride at Penske, and now we are all left to scratch our heads and wonder what might have been had that actually been an opportunity he was able to cash in on. Right, with Austin Wayne Self, it's a little bit different situation there. His father owns the company, similar to Spencer Gallagher and GMS Racing. It was kind of this week, speaking of GMS Racing, Spencer Gallagher gave a shout-out to Dale Jr. saying that if none of this would be possible for GMS had it not been for Dale. And I just kind of wonder how that presumes a pothead hollering at Dale Jr. talking about attaboy. I'm just not really sure how that...
Well, we don't know what Junior did in his younger days when he was out.
Well, we know what he did in his younger days, and that's the problem. Now that he's retired, he doesn't have these types of restrictions. So, you know, we might go over to Dale Junior's little cabin and find Willie Nelson in the living room. You never know. So he doesn't drive race cars anymore. He can do whatever he wants.
Speaking of Dale Junior.
Yeah, go ahead.
Speaking of Dale Jr., while you brought it up, I gotta ask a serious question. What the hell is NBC thinking, putting him in the Kentucky Derby? The Kentucky Derby.
Well, you know, it's kind of like your grandpa going in and buying a Maserati. You ask yourself, Papa, what are you doing with a Maserati? And he shows up with it at Christmas functions. Okay, you know, he uses it as a Sunday car. And I think that that's exactly what NBC is doing with Dale Jr. right now. They're using him as an expensive piece that they paid a lot of money for, and they want to show him out in as many places as possible. And Dale Jr. is marketable to that extent, and I'm sure he's having a blast. That wasn't the only – I think he's been to the golf course, Craig. I think he's been just about to every function NBC hosts.
Yeah, I believe so, too. But when I seen, like I said, when I seen that pop through today, I was like, what? What the hell is he doing at the – what does he know about horses that aren't under the hood?
Well, what does the old man know anything about a Maserati? You know, I mean, seriously, like, you know, it's just he's an expensive toy that they're trying to get their value out of.
Yeah, but Papa driving a Maserati gets him a shot to live in his youth and maybe pick up, you know, a 30-something-year-old.
Okay, Papa bought a Maserati, but why did he drive it to church on Sunday? That's the question, you know?
Well, because he wanted to show Papa the preacher man that he had more money than he did.
He had to fulfill a fantasy there for sure, but But to drive it to church, I mean, it's kind of like where you're trying to, are you trying to pick up on the choir woman, or what's the deal here, Papa? It seems like this is not the proper place to drive a Maserati to, especially when you leave a dollar in the offering plate. But I mean, it's all for good character if you're trying to get the youngest widow in the choir. If you can kind of get my drift there.
No. I get it. When I seen that, I was like, well. And I thought the same thing. NBC's getting as much mileage out of Dale as they can. And it'll definitely be. I won't be able to listen to him call the Kentucky Derby. Excuse me, because I'll be playing for the American Legion, a benefit for the American Legion this weekend, but it'll definitely be interesting. I can't wait to hear it back when I get home that night.
Yeah, he probably doesn't have much to bring to the table for this kind of event, so it'll be interesting to see how he handles himself, especially around people who have been into horse racing their whole, it's a certain group of people that follow the Kentucky Derby, and I've probably watched a handful of them in my lifetime. Craig Moore, that's something I'm more interested in the Indianapolis 500 and Daytona in July than I am the Kentucky Derby. But in big news in the Kentucky Derby, the top runner, it has something to do with winning. I can't think of the name of him right now. He is not going to be the favorite for the Kentucky Derby. He is not going to be in the Kentucky Derby.
No, because he's got a cough.
Because of a cough, exactly. If we had stats here, he would get us the name real quick of that horse, but unfortunately stats is he's been gone this, so we don't have a statistician back there to kind of get us where we need to go here. But, Craig, I got a question for you.
Might have an answer.
You've seen how packed the stands were at Talladega.
I told you for a long time
that it's obvious that there's certain tracks that do better than others when it comes to attendance-wise.
Yep.
Being that this was a race when nobody knew what the package was going to bring, obviously, it proves more to point that places like Talladega and the Daytona 500 and Darlington, these are certain races that carry a lot of fans. Watkins Glen. What is it that other tracks can learn from Talladega and Watkins Glen and tracks that continuously bring in a bigger crowd? What are some points that they need to learn? Or is it fixable, Craig?
I don't know, because, I was thinking about that when I seen your pictures from last week and how nice it was to see the stands filled and then go back and look at pictures from Bristol just a few weeks ago to where the stands were damn near empty.
Stepping too much on you here, the Xfinity race was 2/3 full. The Cup race was full. Go ahead.
Right. But that just goes to tell you that there is something about the lure of the race. And I think that what may have helped, because I don't remember numbers from last year, nor did I look them up because we didn't pre-show. But this year there was a lot of unknowns going into Talladega.
Mm-hmm.
And that might have had something to do with it. We went to spacer racing and not plate racing. Qualifying was different. Qualifying is fixing to be a lot more different here in the next couple of weeks, but we're going to talk about that later. I just think it was the lure of what's new on the track and what can they do to fix it. Only the track owners in NASCAR can figure that out. We can give them all the suggestions they want, but hey, they don't listen to Race Chat Live, and if they did listen, they probably wouldn't like our suggestions. We made the suggestion last week or a few weeks ago with Bristol on contact the people that used to hold the tickets and find out why they're not coming. No. If track attendance is down, they need to look and see why it's down. What's wrong with it? Is the seats not, is the racing not good enough? Are ticket prices too damn high? Like taxes here in New York State, and they just can't afford to go? What do they have to do to get the seat in the stands? Because if the racing is good, people are not going to sit.
Craig,
They're going to stand.
Honestly, I believe that it's the same old, same old. And the one difference is that Talladega and Daytona, it's not the four races a year, five if you count the Clash, five races a year where this type of racing happens. And in how many weeks out of the year? 52 weeks out of the year, Craig. So only five times out of 52 weeks do you get this style of racing. And whether it's always, the unknown factor from rule change, or the consistent package that we had for several years there. Honestly, the whole time before the race, I'm thinking, we don't know what we have here. We don't know how these cars are going to hook up. And Craig, being in those seats and watching as many lead changes and watching every time somebody come past the start-finish line, it was a different car than the car of the lap before. Maybe it was the same car that was there two laps ago, but every lap it seemed like it was a different lead change. The excitement was there, but these fans didn't know what we were getting at Talladega. They still showed up, and the show paid for itself. It was the best show all year long. The racers really, they looked like they were racing, and it looked like they had to keep their elbows up, if that's the right terminology, because there was no sitting and waiting. Where so many times we watch these cars stuck in behind another car, and for 20 laps, that's all you see is the straight line. Very, very rare and very few times during this race did you get to see that. But it does not answer the question of why this race seems to be so important on the NASCAR schedule. My only conclusion, Craig, and you may add to this, is the fact of it is less is better. If every single race of the year was just like Talladega, we would suffer the same consequences that all the other racetracks have suffered. But being that we only race five times a year in this type of racing, it creates the built-in drama as we all anticipate these type races. Go ahead, Craig.
No, I'd love to argue with you, but there's so many other racetracks that it's the same old, same old. It's go fast, turn left, go fast, turn left, go fast, turn left. Oh, somebody's finally going to pass. It's these races have become follow the leader. And when I was watching, I believe there was like 28 to 36 lead changes Sunday. That's amazing. And to watch teams, to watch the Chevy teams, and if you listen to the Ford drivers, and if you – oh, by the way, I feel sorry for you. Your boy got wrecked.
Oh, yeah.
That's a shame.
Not better Wallace than all people.
Yeah, I know. But he'll be out of RPM soon. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I think he's trying to get kicked out, but that we'll hold that tidbit as we get through this part, because – I really believe Bubba Wallace is trying to get fired from RPM, and I don't blame him, but go ahead.
You know, you watch his races, you watch him up until Talladega, and they were all follow the leader. Nobody, and Penske and Joe Gibbs had a lock on wins. You had the top four teams were Chevy drivers. They got their orders on Thursday that they were to work together. If you listen to Kyle Busch's interview after the race, he didn't refer to Kyle Busch as Kyle Busch, or Kurt Busch, I'm sorry. Kyle didn't refer to Kurt as Kurt. He referred to him as the one car. You know that boy was pissed that his brother left him out to dry.
Mm-hmm.
And he went and he did. Obviously, team orders are thicker than blood in that case. And it was great to see Chevy finally work together. I was listening to an interview with Alex Bowman, and Alex was asked what he would have done. Excuse me, and he had his career best finish. I mean, he had a strong run. He said, if it wouldn't have went, I would have ducked out of line after the win.
Oh, yeah. This is perfect scenario for NASCAR to get their golden boy a win, because we all know that as tight as that pack was, had the caution not come out, Chase Elliott was a sitting duck in either the second place, the third place, or the fourth place car. Unless they wrecked each other trying to get it done, Chase Elliott would have never crossed the start-finish line in first place, Craig Moore. That was and I was so disappointed that Alex Bowman was willing to play second fiddle when he knows that he's not guaranteed a lifetime contract with Hendrick Motorsports, that he didn't wreck the hell out of Chase Elliott just so that he could have a chance to win that race. I thought that that was the that right there changed my whole opinion of Alex Bowman, because now you tell me that you're a team player and you're not eager to win. Chase Elliott has 3 wins. How many does Alex have? None. If he wasn't eager enough to wreck his teammate then and there, then I'm sorry, Craig Moore. My opinion of Alex Bowman has forever been shifted.
And, you know, he said he was going to wait until coming out of turn 4 to try to pass him. That was his game plan. That's a little late.
Yeah.
If nobody goes with you, which they may or may not, you're done. If they don't go with you at Talladega, you can say see you later. You need to start that pass going into 3, coming out of 4.
And you know what? I just got this, like, I just got sent back to high school for a minute, right, where you made that block for the running back out on the football field. And you go up to the running back at the end of the game, and you pat him on the back, and you say, man, glad you got that touchdown, man. What you think about that block I gave you? And he kind of looks at you like, who the hell are you, and walks off. I guarantee you that's exactly how the hell Alex Bowman was treated when he went up to congratulate Mr. Golden Boy, Chase freaking Elliott, about how great he is to win a race. And I guarantee you that Chase Elliott just looked at Alex Bowman like, yeah, you second loser, I'd have won it anyway. I don't know if that's true, but that's how I feel about the situation. Alex Bowman had his chance, Craig Moore. He had his chance. He disappointed the fans of 88, because I'd be darned if Dale Jr. would have run second to Chase Elliott.
Nope, he'd have wrecked his ass. Now, speaking of Elliott, there was another Elliott in the victory lane this past Sunday.
Yeah, they moved over and let him win. You know, got to let Daddy win.
Yeah. Yeah, in a vintage race. I don't even remember where that was at.
At Road Atlanta.
Yeah. And I thought that was – I'm wondering if that wasn't planned once Chase got his win. I don't know what race took place first, but
– Well, it does seem quite odd that Bill Elliott didn't even have enough faith in his own son to fly 70 minutes to the racetrack to watch him win and plan to race on top of him. So that pretty much tells you that even Bill Elliott didn't think that his son had a chance in hell to win at Talladega. we can spend this whole show trashing Chase Elliott, because everybody else's show, all they spend is time praising the boy. So, as you can tell, I'm not very happy at the presumed winner of this race. And I wish NASCAR would have just allowed – I mean, it was a wreck at the end of the pack. They should have let him go around, but to be honest with you, I'm an idiot speaking, because after watching Kyle Larson flip 10 times down the backstretch, NASCAR had no choice other than to throw the caution.
That was a, you know, and I hate to say it, but that shows the how far the safety innovations have come in NASCAR in the last 10 to 12 years. Because that was a hellacious wreck. And you've heard him describe it. When a car is flipping, there is no noise. It's dead. They say it's dead silence.
Yeah.
And to watch that, you're thinking, there's no way he's going to walk away. And by God, he did walk away. And oh, by the way, the horse that it was scratched. The name of the horse was Omaha Beach.
Omaha Beach.
Omaha Beach. So if you had any money on that, you were foolish because he had a cough.
It was a 4-1 favorite.
Yeah. The Cup Banquet is going to remain in Nashville until at least 2020. Not only will the banquet be there, the show in Nashville this year, it will be back in 2020. They're saying possibly 2021. The president, Steve Phelps, gave details Thursday about the contract. But I think, and we've said this before, that it's a ploy to get NASCAR to get the upper series at Nashville Speedway. So it's going to be in Nashville for at least 2 years, 3 years technically, 19 and 20. So they'll be kicking up their heels and kicking the dust up to steal a line from Dutch Music ass jiggler Luke Bryan.
I think it's a great move, and I think the NASCAR belongs in a place like Music City. The unfortunate problem to this, Craig, is for 20 years, Nashville has wanted to be back in the NASCAR eye. But the moment that NASCAR said, we're interested in Nashville, that creates a higher price. Because now Nashville, for years, has wanted to be a part of NASCAR. But now the interest is by the fans. The fans want a return to NASCAR in Nashville, which at that point in time, you reverse roles. Now Nashville says, well, wait a minute, we're a commodity. We want to get paid like a commodity. And
right.
And I'm almost wondering if NASCAR waited too long to show that interest, because there's a lot of corporate dollar on this side of this city complex with the soccer field and all this money being put into it, along with the facility that had been built there next to the track. And reports are that the promoters are going to get sued now, that there was a breach of contract. All this is, you know, the longer that they don't have a race at Nashville for the schedule, the more complicated that it's going to be, Craig Moore. And, you know, it's one of those deals where supply and demand, you know, Nashville would have taken a date any time. But now that there's been presumed interest into returning to Nashville, that kind of puts Nashville on that side of the court where they can, you know, drop the ball and make the price so high that a race doesn't return to Nashville, is what I'm really trying to say, Craig.
Yeah, but I really think that would be foolish on their part.
It's happened a lot of times in racing, the foolish part, I should say.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, look at Alex Bowman getting a ride in Henderson.
It's a sport of bad decisions a lot of times. It's what happens when you only have one winner out of you know, three dozen competitors.
Yeah. Listen, they had practice today down there at Dover for the truck series.
Mm-hmm.
Johnny Sauter led practice.
God bless Johnny Sauter.
God bless Johnny Sauter. His time was 22 seconds, 22.93 seconds in practice number two. Mr. Freeze, who is leading the points, I don't know if you got a chance to see his truck or not, but April was Autism Awareness Month. And they're obviously, Dover is a big autism. They believe it's, what is it, the Autism 400 or whatever it's called down there for
right.
The race. He's got little puzzle pieces on his car. And I actually was thinking about it until I seen the price to put a piece on to do a piece on the car. Are you ready?
Yes.
$1,000.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's for a good cause.
It is for a good call. But I would have loved to have done it, but if I was like, ooh, $1,000, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, that's where you raise money to raise money. That's where you have a fundraiser for a fundraiser.
Yeah, but Harrison Burton finished practice fourth, the final practice. Matt Crafton was eighth in final practice. And Austin Wayne Self, he was back behind the wheel. Obviously, there was no driver named for this race, for this truck, up until yesterday. It was pretty quiet. And then they made the announcement that Austin Wayne Self was reinstated. He was 15th. So he didn't seem to lose a whole lot. He ran 35 laps. Joe Nemechek, front row Joe, he ran 41 laps, and he was 21st fastest in practice. So I don't know how many trucks they run in a race. Is it 32 they run normally?
Yeah, 32, Craig, yep.
All right, well, they only got 31 cars in the entry list, so all 31 cars will be – or all 31 trucks will be running tomorrow night down at Dover.
Yeah, we're a triple header this weekend at Dover International Speedway. Always a great race, Craig Moore. Something about the Monster Mile, the Concrete Madness. It's a different race. It's really one of my favorites of the year. I love short track racing, and Dover's kind of right there in between. They're not an intermediate track, and they're not a short track, but they're definitely one of the smaller circuits that we go to. Always action racing at this racetrack, and so a triple header will keep us busy watching all week long. But you know, it's once again, it's one of those oddities where after such a great weekend, you know, where everybody loved the racing and oh, it was so action filled, Dover's got a lot to live up to this week, Craig Moore, to keep people interested.
Now, do you think that's fair?
No, it's not. Of course it's not. It's just
because,
like this. It's just like when you have New England playing the San Francisco 49ers on Monday Night Football. And then the next week you've got the Cincinnati Bengals playing the Detroit Lions. You see what I'm saying, Craig? Hey, which one is more interesting? Well, of course it's going to be New England versus the 49ers. It doesn't matter what New England's doing. It doesn't matter how the 49ers are playing. The amount of interest that those two places have and the fan bases that they have put together for a great game. When you know, the Yankees versus the Mets World Series, there would be a sellout, you know. You would have an inner-city World Series. But for some reason, this is, you know, Dover and Pocono and so many of these races that are on the schedule in New Hampshire. They just don't have the appeal to the spectrum of like a place like Daytona or Talladega, Craig. You know, it's I'm not saying the Northerners don't love their racing, but they definitely don't support it in that area like they do up in your parts of the woods, like Watkins Glen, or down here in our parts of the woods, like Talladega.
Right, and I think a lot of it has to do for us that we only get one race up in. I mean, we technically get two with New. We technically get three with New Hampshire, but one in New York State. Mm-hmm. I know for a while they were talking about putting a road course down on Long Island, mm-hmm. And I know that that would have, now that Stats is back in Long Island, that would have made him really, really happy.
Yeah.
But that sort of went by the wayside. But here, I got a question for you. Now, I want to ask you something really, really serious. What does NASCAR have to do, and we may have tackled this before, what does NASCAR have to do to get interest back in the trucks, to get interest in the truck series? In 95, when it came out, it was the newest thing. It was the best thing since sliced bread. I hate to steal Joey Logano's thing, but, you know, and then you watch it over the years, over the last 20, 24, 25 years, the numbers have steadily declined to where they're pretty much racing for TV. what does NASCAR have to do to get interest in the truck series up along with, and I wish Shannon was calling in or listening, because I'd love to hear his take on this. What do they have to do to get the interest in the truck series to where it needs to be?
I mean, you think that, you know, the TV is the way to go, and of course it is. You know, they got to continue to put them on TV. But what needs to happen in the truck series is you need somebody that stands out like a Kyle Busch does, you know, but not Kyle Busch. You need somebody else. You need a truck ringer who they have to go out there and track down every weekend. You have to have personality, Craig Moore. You got to and let the junior leagues be the experimental grounds for social media, for in-car camera. You know, throw a damn in-car camera on one of these things and put it on Facebook, Craig Moore. Make it accessible. Make, you know, all they can do is earn more fans with these lower series. And I mean, ARCA, K&N, Truck Series, Xfinity Series, it's where names are made, right? But if you don't ever have access to those names, how are names made? I think the best thing for the Truck Series is for somebody like Greg Biffle to come out of retirement and start whooping everybody's ass in a Kyle Busch truck. I think that's really the best thing in the world that could happen, because you've got somebody who's already earned a name for himself. He hasn't raced in a few years. All of a sudden, he comes out of retirement. Craig Moore, if he wins 3-4 races in a row, what's going to happen? We've created a buzz, right? Greg Biffle, out of retirement, gets in a Kyle Busch machine. Nobody can catch him. Well, you know, he's not restricted. He's not told he can't show up the next week to a truck race. Now, all of a sudden, there's bounties put out there on Greg Biffle because he's coming in, a former, you know, stock car driver, dropped down to the lower ranks after retirement. Now he's putting an ass whooping on everybody. That's a storyline. There's no real storylines in the Truck Series or the Xfinity Series right now, except for who's the next one up. Well, let me tell you something, Craig Moore. We've done seen the splash. What I mean by that is where there's a bunch of drivers that have all of a sudden got promoted. Okay, there's a bunch of drivers now that have got 5 to 10 years to prove whether or not they were ever talented enough to be called something. But even still, where we've seen 20 drivers new into the Cup Series, in the next 5 years, we're only going to see 5 different drivers, Craig. And so there's, you know, you've got 30-something drivers in trucks, 30-something drivers in Xfinity. They're all beating for a ride in the Cup Series. Not all of them are going to make it. We've got to have personalities. We've got to have rivalries. And we've got to have somebody down there kicking their butts. Justin Allgaier was a perfect example last year. You know, 7 wins, former Cup driver. Was kicking ass, taking names later. People felt like, you know, they were getting their butts handed to them by somebody who should be in a Cup car. But Allgaier has been in a Cup car and didn't give us anywhere near the stats that he's able to put forth with Junior Motorsports. So, you know, I don't know if the Truck Series needs to be turned into the old man's league. It kind of already looks like it is. With the names of, like, Stuart Friesen, Johnny Sauter, Matt Crafton, to, you know, just to name a few.
Well, speaking,
it would be a great place for Bubba Wallace to go back to and learn how to drive a car, maybe get a decent sponsor, and quit trying to wreck people on lap 11 of a 188-lap race. Since he is just trying to get fired from RPM.
Yeah, why don't we talk about that for a while?
Over the last freaking month, I've watched him get on NBC. I've watched him trash RPM. I've watched him say that he's never had a sponsor in his life. I've watched him wreck half the field like three races in a row or something. Obviously, the guy is unhappy. I mean, he was running third. He was running third, Craig. It was 11 laps into the race. You didn't even give yourself a chance to be around at the end because you did some boneheaded move trying to show out in front of your buddy. It's like, hey, Ryan, watch this. Boom. My race is over with. I'm done with the theatrics. Go ahead.
All right. I was just checking. I mean, because the theatrics and your sound effects were pretty good. But, all right, so where does Bubba Wallace go from here?
Back to the truck series.
Yeah, he's got to go somewhere. He obviously, I don't know, let me ask you this. Was he brought up to the Cup level? Excuse me, was he brought up to the Cup level too soon? In your opinion, I'm going to say yes.
And you know what? If we can sit here and say Danica Patrick got put into a Cup car because she was a girl, and we don't sit here and say that Bubba Wallace got put into a Cup car because he's black, then we're hypocritical, Craig Moore, and I refuse to be. So I may lose my job for that. But at the same time, the truth is the truth. He wasn't ready, and his position is only based off of, unfortunately, the marketing plan for NASCAR. And it's not working, because if that was the case, then he would have sponsorship and a decent ride, and he would fail there like he is in this car. But to be honest with you, and the reason why he was pushed up into the Cup ranks is because NASCAR felt like they needed to separate themselves from a race barrier. And unfortunately, without Bubba having the proper funding and in the right kind of ride, the plan backfires on NASCAR. Prove me wrong. I'm willing to listen to an argument. I agree with you.
I think for us to say Danica was pushed up into the Cup Series because she was a woman is 100% accurate. And I can't argue with the fact that Bubba was pushed up in there because it looked good for the diversity of the sport. And it's a shame because you've ruined one top-tier driver and one driver that could have been a top-tier driver. Mr. CJ Sports, I know you're back there chomping at the bit because I can hear an echo.
Do what?
So, CJ.
Oh, God, he's coming on to fire me, y'all.
CJ. You write your resignation letter now.
Yeah, no doubt. Mr. CJ Sports, is that you? Nope, maybe not.
Maybe. I thought maybe that was him with all the background noise.
Yeah.
He might be working or shooting pool still. But no, I agree with you, Chris. I think that NASCAR dropped the ball on both of them. I think they did it for publicity and to play it. To play it safe. Danica, they did for publicity.
Would you show me where the next driver is? Okay, we got Bubba Wallace. You know, show me where the next African-American driver is. NASCAR wasn't interested in that. That's why there's not several of them. And Bubba Wallace, just like Danica, filled the void of a woman not being in the sport. But it took the crosshairs of Danica to create this Haley Deegan, to create the Hannah Newhouse, to create the Natalie Deckers. And so now we're seeing a return from NASCAR's investment into diversity. But right now, Bubba Wallace has been around for 9 years, and we've yet to meet the next Bubba Wallace. Why? Why, NASCAR? Why is it so important to bring one driver up and not offer opportunities to maybe others? Or we could all be just scratching our head because there may only be, you know, Jesse Owegi. Where's his chance at? Where's his chance? And he's gone out of his way far and beyond to prove himself in this sport along, you know, with Bubba Wallace in his earlier career. It's only fitting that Bubba's become kind of the person that he has since he's been in RPM. Get Bubba out of RPM. Get him into a legit ride. Get him into a Joe Gibbs Racing a couple of races a year, or a junior motorsports car down in the lower series, or a GMS truck over in the truck series, and allow him to build a true fan base instead of making us fans feel like the only reason why he's there is for a bad publicity stunt by NASCAR. Prove me wrong.
Oh my goodness, you are on a rip roaring tear. But there is no driver that NASCAR will be willing after the first two experiments, if you will, failed, to say, hey, let's take a chance. I think that Jesse Uiji might be that guy, but on the same token, he's still active military. So,
well, then what would it take for NASCAR to go get Lewis Hamilton from F1? I mean, that's the guy. That's the star that we need next. NASCAR went out of their way. They went and got Danica Patrick. We had Shauna Robinson. We had Patty Moise. We had Dale McCowart. We've had several female racers. But NASCAR went out of the way. They went and got Danica Patrick, okay? Let's go and get us a Lewis Hamilton. Let's go bring Lewis in and see what he can do in a stock car. If he fails miserably, that's great. I mean, it doesn't matter. But what it does is it does open the door for a group, a crop of young drivers to start molding themselves around a big name like Lewis Hamilton. Remember, Haley Deegan and Hannah Newhouse and all these other, you know, good girl racers, they wouldn't have gotten their opportunity had Danica Patrick not paved the way and brought that kind of interest to the sport. Bubba has no artillery behind him other than than being an African American driver.
Right, and if you ask him, he's not an African. He doesn't want to be identified. From everything that I've heard, he doesn't want to be identified as an African American.
Well, he wants to be identified as a drummer, as a guy who loves racing. I mean, I don't blame him for that. Can you?
No,
nobody wants to be judged by their race, but unfortunately, NASCAR used that as a propaganda for him, and so he is labeled that, just as they did with the driver Bill Lester from back in the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah.
Race management had a lot of money behind Bill Lester. Bill Davis got a garbage truck load of waste management money in the experiment with Bill Lester. People got paid, but Bill Lester never gave you results. And you know what? Maybe it was lack of talent, or maybe it was just a scheme all along. I know I'm blasting the cannons today, man. I got my little pistols out. Shooting the cannons out of the air, buddy.
See what happens. See what happens when we give you a couple of days off to rest your voice.
I got to work Saturday. I hope I have something to work with.
Oh, that's right. You got to call races down at Why Not Motorsports Park.
That's right. It's free grandstand weekend too, man. Everybody can get in the grandstands for free. I just hope Miss Peggy stocked up on groceries.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, we had opening week down here at Fonda last week, which kind of surprised me a little bit with the weather the way that it was.
Yeah,
but,
tell us a little about it, Craig Moore.
Well, from what I understand, it was a good night. It was nice and cool because the track sits right on the Mohawk River. But they said that it wasn't sold out, but it was pretty damn close. I'm going to see if I can get you the results of the track, and while I do that.
Well, I know that y'all have a special track packer up at Glen Ridge. Did you see the video that I shared of the Amish rolling around the track to pack it in?
No.
So literally, Glen Ridge Motorsports Park must be in the center of Amish country.
We are. We're not too far.
Well, I shared a video in our group, our dirt track racing group, of an Amish running hot laps with his horse out on Glen Ridge Motorsports Park. Absolutely awesome. And it just shows, man, it's any group of people can have the need for speed. And just to see that horse make a track around around Glen Ridge there sure made me want to go out there and watch a race.
I'm going to have to look at this now because I did not see it. But
go to Glen Ridge Motorsports Park Facebook page.
That's where I'm at. Hold on. Oh, my goodness.
You see it?
Only you would find something like that.
What are you talking about? It's from a track up around where you are.
I know, but only you would notice something like that.
Yeah, it's about 8 posts down or whatever.
All right, I will look real quick. Yeah, so Fonda opened this weekend. This past weekend. And this week
Check the group message. Go ahead.
This week they have meet and greet night for all the drivers. I won't be there, but they're also doing a fundraiser for the regional animal shelter from Gloversville, which a former guest of ours in that car that we sponsor here at More Tune Music, his wife is on the board of directors for the regional animal shelter, so they're sponsoring the night. And part of the proceeds from that night are going to go to the regional animal shelter, which is awesome. Let's see if I can find that on Glenridge because I lost the page. So tell us about you're back in action this weekend. Grandstand admission is what you say free?
Free. 100% free for grandstand admission. You got to just show up, and you'll get in the grandstands. Of course, if you want in the pits, I think it's $35. Cameron. It's to give back to the community, a way for Rodney Wing to show off his improvements over the last year at the racetrack. And it's a kind of a built-in factor that, you know, you give it to them for free this time, and hopefully they'll come back and pay you the next time. It is a risk, and I'm not sure if it's been proven 100% effective, as in to bring new people to the racetrack. I do have a feeling that we'll have standing room only for the free admission. The point of doing something like this is to make sure that you get a return person that you know, they come back and they actually pay for it the next time that they visit. But, it is a catch-22 because if you give your product away, why would people pay to come and see it? So, but I think it's thinking outside the box as well, Craig, you know, and you have to do what you have to do these days. There's a lot of tracks racing this weekend in the state of Mississippi. So if fans come out and watch the race for free, then, you know, we should feel very honored, not just to those fans that come, but also to the racers that decided to be there and put on the show for those fans that are getting the grandstand admission for free.
I just seen the video. That is hilarious.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. That speaks more than words there, Craig Moore. If we can share that to the Race Channel Live Facebook page, that would be great.
And then he's actually pulling in the pits.
He's got to get a little bit more air pressure in the tire there.
Yeah. I'm going to share that to the Race Chat Live page. That is just hilarious.
So the Xfinity race this past weekend was definitely not a slacker. Actually, we actually walked over for the first time in 3 years. I went and watched the Xfinity race. The one thing that I noticed the moment I got there was, holy cow, this place is damn near full. So not only an action-packed race weekend on the Cup side, but also the Xfinity race had a lot of people there as well. Of course, the show was as good as ever. Of course, they were not on tapered spacers. They were actually still on plates. I'm actually lost right now at who the actual winner was of the nationwide race. I mean, the Xfinity race, as my brain has boggled into this memory of all weekend long. I think it would take me quite a while to filter out. And for some reason, even now, I cannot think of who won that damn race.
All right, so let me ask you a question, because that brings up that brings up an interesting point. Now, NASCAR ran the tape, the Monster Energy guys, they ran the tapered spacers Sunday. But the Xfinity guys are still running the restrictor plates. Why wouldn't you run that across the board?
I'm not really sure, Craig. Honestly, I don't think that NASCAR was ready for the cars to show up at Talladega going 205 miles an hour like they did originally. So just as the rule changes were made, the rule changes were changed. But and I think that that may have had a lot to do with it, the preparedness of what it would take just in case they were to miss it and the tire compounds and all this. In other words, we'll have a something that we can work with on building up a notebook to get these guys off of the restrictor plate. Tyler Reddick was the winner, and I can't believe that I had a hard time remembering that because Tyler Reddick, of course, spun early in the race, got a lot of damage, was a lap down before the stage one, and wound up racing his way back to victory. Tyler Reddick, the dirt track kid, the California kid, boy, I tell you what, over the last 8 months, I would say Tyler Reddick is making a name for himself in the NASCAR series.
All right. Well, here's you talking about Tyler Reddick. He leads the points. And, you know, it's no slouch. He's leading them by 32 over Christopher Bell. And then you got Austin Cendrick in third. He's 74 behind. Cole Custer's 75 behind in fourth place. Your buddy Justin Allgaier, or Allgaier, however you say it, he's 152 back. Front row Joe's son, John, he's 118th back in sixth. Chase Briscoe, I almost said Elliott, he's 118 back. Ryan Sieg is 124th back. Michael Annette, he's in 11th place. If the playoffs were to start now, obviously, Annette would be in 6th place going into it. Anybody in the top 15 that you think has gotten lucky this year and shouldn't be in the top 15? Here's who rounds out your top 15. Brandon Brown is in 15th. Greg Alding is 14th, and Ross Chastain in 13th, and Brandon Jones in 12th. Anybody there that you're thinking, hey?
Brandon Jones, of course, a big disappointment because he's in a Joe Gibbs Racing, and you should be performing a lot better than that in a Joe Gibbs affiliate. I think that Ryan Sieg is producing a lot more than what people expected. He is this year's Ross Chastain. Of course, Ross Chastain having another solid year, showing that, you know, he belongs in a better ride as well. But, you know, really, it's still too early to tell. Chase Briscoe, I think, has been the most improved driver over this year. But, you know, certainly his finishes have not kind of shown the success that team has showed. You know, it's kind of a hit and miss right now on success for the 98 team. But I do expect them to get stronger. We've seen flashes of brilliance from Chase Briscoe. Christopher Bell probably not leading the points is probably the biggest thing that jumps out to us because we expected Christopher Bell to be very dominant this year. Justin Allgaier not really, you know, duplicating the success he had last year, which is, you know, the question when Junior Motorsports starts, has Junior Motorsports kind of lost the edge? I mean, you know, it looks like Tyler Reddick and the RCR cars are the ones that are that have the edge right now. But you know, you have to kind of expect Junior Motorsports to pick up the pace. And you know, Noah Grasden, he is who we thought he is, a titty baby and a wrecker. No offense, I know that Noah's been represented on the 110 Nation, but this is Race Chat Live, and we have our own opinions on Race Chat Live. And over the last year, Noah Grasden has kind of put a sour taste in my mouth. Once again, this is my opinion. It doesn't reflect the 110 Nation or the, you know, and I'm not trying to slap in the face of somebody that's been a great guest on the show. It's kind of like Colin Cowherd, man. I mean, we're here to report. We're here to give our opinions. That's why people listen. And even though we may have had a guest on before, it doesn't change the fact that Noah sucks right now. And he's stepping into a car that won the championship. He's in a proven team that's won several championships over the last several years. And it seems like the same old junk that was going on in the truck series at Kyle Busch Motorsports seems to have carried over to Junior Motorsports with Noah Gresden. So, you know, those are probably the things that stand out the most to me. But it's always great to see fresh meat. It's always great to see somebody like Jeremy Clements have a good run that, you know has been around the Xfinity Series for a long time. Somebody like Ryan Sieg, we've seen up and downs from Ryan Sieg, a family-owned team. It's great to see them with a little bit of success. And I do believe that you said Brett Moffitt. Is he not in the top 10 in points, Craig?
Let me go back to the truck series because you're like a politician.
Not the truck series. It's the Xfinity series. I believe Brett Moffitt is in one of the – maybe the 11 car. Who's in the 11 car there in the Xfinity series?
Justin Haley.
Who?
Justin Haley.
Okay, yeah, Justin Haley. Okay. So Elliott Sadler was in the 10 car, which is the sister car to that team. So Haley actually had some big news this past week, but I guess all that kind of ended early for him as he was caught up in one of the wrecks there at Talladega that was being announced of his own control. So
let me ask you, I don't know where CJ's at. It's kind of disappointing. I was hoping he would pipe in here at least once. But who is your is let's jump to the Cup Series. We got the favored child of NASCAR coming off of a win this past weekend at Dega. Can he sustain that and bring Hendrick another win, two in a row, or do you think it'll be another Chevy driver?
Kurt Busch has been the consistent Chevy driver, Craig Moore, all year long. We've not seen anything out of Hendrick Motorsports. Yeah, Hendrick got him a win at Talladega, but, I mean, that's a crapshoot, you know. And I promise you, had the race come down to the very last lap across the start-finish line, the car in first was a sitting duck. So whoever was in that second, third, or fourth spot would have been the winner had it played any way different than what it did play out at. As for Chase, I don't expect Hendrick to just show up at Dover and be back to their dominant force because Chase Elliott got a win at Talladega. I expect the Chevys to continue to struggle until they put together a package and a consistent run and they go up and start leading laps again, Craig. I'm just not going to put my money on them right now.
Well, I'm looking at the odds for Dover. These drivers are not favorites. Are you ready? William Byron, he's a 200-1 odds.
Yeah.
Alex Bowman, 100-1 odds. Flying Ryan, of course, Kyle Larson could get that nickname. He's 100-1 odds, and Austin Dillon is 80-1 odds to pull off a victory this weekend at the Monster Mile.
So obviously Vegas is not that they're not too fond of any Hendrick cars at Dover.
No. Daniel Suarez, his best finish at Dover was a third last year in the spring race, but he's a 50-1 odd. So Eric Jones is 25-1. His best finish was 18th last year in the fall race. He's another one that's quiet. Jimmy Johnson. He's a 20-1 odds.
It's not a bad odd.
No, but you would expect better out of Mr. Six Time Kyle Larson is 18-1. His best finish at Dover was 10th.
Kyle Larson's got to finish a race. He's got to finish a race before you start betting on him. I mean, literally, I think he's wrecked in every race this season. He's hit the wall or found some way to tear up his race car before the end of the race, and it seems like it goes all the way back to the Roval of last year. But go ahead, Craig.
Actually, you had sent out something interesting about Chip Ganassi Racing earlier today. I want to pause on what I'm doing so we could talk about that. Go ahead. Tell us what you sent out earlier today.
Yeah, well, reports are that since Chip Ganassi Racing has lost two major sponsors in the last 2 years, Target and DC Solar, that there may be financial problems brewing in the cup level side of CGR. And you know what, guys? If you go back to the very first of the year when news started breaking, and I said, "Oh, this could really impact the cup team." Others said, no, it was just really about the Xfinity team and all. But this is the reports coming out that CGR is having financial trouble since they lost a couple of their sponsors, Target and DC Solar. And the concerning factor of both of these is the fact that Kurt Busch and Kyle Larson are in contract years.
Yeah, because Kurt has only got a one-year deal, so... And if I was going to keep any of those two drivers, either of those two drivers, I would keep Kurt.
Over Kyle Larson?
Yeah.
Now you're just feeding into the conspiracy that I created several years ago that Kyle Larson was going to wind up at Hendrick Motorsports. I believe
no.
that you are now believing my conspiracy.
No. I'm looking, and we wonder why Chip Ganassi Racing is having financial issues. How many cars has Larson wrecked this year? 10 of them?
Yeah, probably.
I mean, you wreck a $350,000 race car, that's $3.5 million you've totaled. They are now show cars. Nobody, I don't think, is that interested in a Kyle Larson show car. So he can stop at any time.
Well. I would hate to have a diecast model of Kyle Larson this year. You'd probably get it from the FedEx truck, and it would already be wrecked.
Oh, we are so bad.
Yeah, I mean, that's the year Larson's having. So it's everybody's favorite this week, Kyle Busch. Kyle Busch is the favorite, 11-4 odds. Kevin Harvick in the second spot, Brad Keselowski in the third spot, and Martin Truex Jr. in the fourth spot, and Joey Logano, they're in the fifth spot for favorites to win this weekend at Dover, Delaware. Do you see a sleeper in that? If you did, which one would you pick as a sleeper to maybe win this race?
Clint Boyer at 12-1.
Clint Boyer. And that's your pick for the weekend?
Yeah, that's my pick.
Wow.
There's something I like about Boyer, and I don't know what it is. I don't know if it, I love the pictures he posts of his kids, or if he's just having a good time and he's mostly happy where he's at. And I don't mean wins, I don't mean finishes. Like, he's found a home at SHR.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to translate, even though his time is running, his biological clock, if you will, is ticking faster than Jimmy Johnson's. there's just something about Boyer that I think he's going to pull off the Hail Mary.
Well, you would think that I'd probably pick Kevin Harvick because that's been my stronghold over the last couple of years, but I'm really seeing problems starting at SHR. I really, the further Kevin Harvick gets away from the winning circle, the harder it is for me to put Kevin Harvick back in the winning circle. Right now, and I have to stay on the Ford camp because they're so good. If I'm not going to pick Kyle Busch, then I'm definitely going to have to go with Brad Keselowski. Brad Keselowski is you. If you look at the Penske rotation, it's Brad Keselowski's turn up. I also believe that Ryan Blaney will have a good race, but there again, Dover is a trickier track, and I think experience helps more than anything at Dover, and that lack of experience by Ryan Blaney will have him finish in second behind Brad Keselowski as he takes the victory lane checkered flag and drinks down a Miller Lite in victory lane.
So you think it's going to be Keselowski. I think it's going to be Clint Bowyer. I just find it hard to believe that you're going against your boy Happy.
Like I said, Craig, the further away from victory lane he gets, the harder it'll be for me to pick him. And I know that this will break out. It'll break out soon, and I probably won't pick him the week that he breaks out. But until he breaks out, Craig, you have to kind of look at it that, you know, he's 0-4, and he's due one, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's going to get one. You know, this could be a slump that could be all year long. I'm not sure it's performance from SHR. I really don't. I think that it's performance by Penske and Joe Gibbs. You know, SHR come in and they built these cars from scratch. They found a couple of things that probably nobody else found as they were transitioning from the Chevys to the Fords. And now Penske and Joe Gibbs, they've both, you know, had a chance to fiddle and play with their cars and find something new. And right now, the two dominant teams are Penske and Joe Gibbs. So until you show that there's another team that can go on a consistent run, though I'm not saying SHR hasn't been consistent, but their hierarchy driver has not made it to victory lane. And the longer that goes along, the harder it is for me to pick them. But hey, you know, Clint Bowyer gets into victory lane, all of a sudden, you know, spiritual lifted at SHR. We're back in, you know, as a team effort. We're doing better now. I think that it's got to start somewhere. So, hey, I'm all for your pick of Clint Bowyer. Maybe it'll get things turned around there at Stewart Haas Racing.
So what you're saying is Kevin Harvick needs an outbreak like the outbreak of measles in New York City then. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, kind of. It's funny that you say that because the group of Scientology, their cruise ship is now stuck out on port somewhere in a third world country because there has been an outbreak of measles on their Carnival ship. Measles, it's something that we all got vaccinated for when we were young. It's very strange to start hearing all of these cases. But, yes, the SHR needs an outbreak of wins to get the morality back up to where it was last year. I think that, you know, an 8-9 races into the season, still no victory, that's really taking a tear on and this is contract negotiation time, Craig Moore. If you don't think the businesses aren't doing their deals for September and into the 2020 fiscal year already, you're crazy. And lack of wins makes it a little bit harder for these sponsors to drop big money to these race teams. There is panic at SHR. I'm just not sure they've hit the panic button yet.
All right, so that brings up my question, and I'm glad you said that. I was just scrolling through the news organizations, and I've seen that 007 has passed away. For those of you who don't know who 007 is, shame on you. Roger Moore, 89, passed away. Just wanted to throw that out there. It's kind of like the and I bring that up because SHR is slowly dying as far as consistency goes. When your one top driver isn't winning and we're 10 races into the season, when happy
there's a morale
winning,
factor for that, right? It starts affecting everybody.
Right. So what is SHR? We said it earlier with NASCAR. I asked you that earlier with NASCAR. But what does SHR have to do? What changes are they going to have to make? Because they're pretty much catfish. They're pretty much bottom feeders. what do they have to do to pick it up this year and
continue to work on their race cars, Craig. Continue to work in the shop and try to find what's going to make them faster. There's other teams, they found something. It's up to SHR's engineers to go back to the drawing table and fix whatever it is that they're having issues at, whether it be aero, whether it be downforce, or maybe something in the motor package. I'm not really sure. But definitely there's a lot of engineers that work at SHR, and they need to be at the table, they don't need to beat themselves before they get to the racetrack, Craig, because winning can change everything, and that's all they need. They just need to get into victory lane, whether it be with Eric Amarola, Daniel Suarez, Kevin Harvick, or Clint Bowyer. One of these guys has got to get into victory lane pretty quick so that they can build up the morale there at Stuart Haas Racing. And these engineers are scratching their head, but there's something there, and they're going to have to find it.
All right, so this begs the next question. And I know it's competition, but they are backed by Ford. Could not Ford say to Penske, hey, Captain, what are you guys doing that's making you so successful? We don't want you to share the winning formula, but we're starting to look bad in the SHR camp.
Yeah, but they're going to say, Craig, they're going to say, well, hey, we were chasing y'all last year. Now how does it feel? Because we found something that y'all found, and then we made it better. So now we're outrunning you.
I'm just trying to play devil's advocate. Like,
yeah.
it would be in Ford's best interest to do what they can to help SHR get back to where they once were. You know, get like that old song, get back to where we once belong.
If that was the case, Craig, I think Ford would have stepped in a long time ago and fixed Roush Racing. You know, if the Ford camp really cared that much about it, I don't think they would have allowed Roush Racing to fall to what it has today. And we're seeing, you know, consistency coming from the Roush Fenway camp. But you know what? It's all been done by the camp itself, by the team. And this is a struggle that SHR has to make it through themselves. They can no longer depend on Hendrick to bail them out. They can no longer build off of somebody else's notebook. It's a shit or get off the pot situation there for Stuart Haas Racing.
All right, so who is your pick? Who is your pick in the truck series this weekend?
You know who my pick is. I got to see him. He has got to get the victory lane.
Well, he is the, and we know if you guys are just tuning in or have lived under a rock for the last 14 months, you obviously know who Chris is referring to, and that's Stuart Friesen from Ephrata, New York. Well, actually, Mr. Freeze. He is leading, as I said earlier, he's leading the point series, but it's funny because I'm going to read you his stats for the year. And he's got, are you ready?
Yeah.
0 wins, 3 top 5s, 4 top 10s, 1 DNF. He's led 39 laps. He's got 0 stage wins. Grant Infinger in the 98. He's got 0 wins, 3 top 5s, 4 top 10s. 0 DNS, but he's led only 14 laps, but he's got 1 stage win. Stewart's the only one that has, and the top five, because Austin Hill has led more laps than Stewart. Is Brett Moffitt, who sits in 5th place, but he's 26 points out of the lead. He's got 3 top 5s, 3 top 10s, 1 DNF, 40 laps led, and 0 stage wins. Nobody in the top 6 drivers have 0 wins and they are leading the guys like Austin Hill, who's got a win. There is nobody in the top 10 with more than one win.
Yeah, it's been a Kyle Busch show.
Yeah.
He kind of stuck it up for these boys, but I think this weekend we'll see. Is Kyle Busch entered to win? Is he in the entry list for this week?
Let me see if he entered to win. Because if he's entered, there's a good chance he's going to win. let's see if he's in the entry list. I didn't see him in the entry list. But that doesn't really mean anything. I don't even see the entry list on there. I don't see the entry list listed. But
well, if you were looking at with the fast times today from practice. Because I know it's a dash for cash in the Dover race, in the Xfinity race, so I know that there will be no Cup drivers in the Xfinity race.
All right. While you're doing that, while I'm doing that, give us your pick for the Xfinity series, because you and I both picked the same drivers for the truck series.
I'm going to go with Chase Briscoe, man. Chase Briscoe. I really think that there's been a lot of improvement there, and I think that Chase is the next guy up.
And
I did want
to
make my comments about single car qualifying NASCAR. You suck. That's all I got to say.
Okay, but this is exactly what we said a few weeks ago. Whatever NASCAR does, we're going to bitch about.
Imagine that.
You just proved my point that whatever NASCAR does, we're going to complain about. NASCAR went back to single car qualifying. Now they have lessened the time. I believe it went down. You didn't hear about that?
No.
Yeah, they went down. I believe it's 9 minutes.
Yeah, but with single car qualifying now, I don't think there will be a clock, will it?
I don't know. I heard there was going to be, but, that's what I had heard earlier, and I heard Wednesday, so when it came out. But
I can confirm that there will not be a Kyle Busch at the Dover race. There is no Kyle Busch in the Dover race, so good luck to all the full-time Truck Series drivers. We should see somebody different get into victory lane this week.
Well, that would be great. And I would love to. Yeah. I would love it to be Stewie, because then Fonda for sure will sell out on Saturday when he comes back to race the number 44 Halmar modified here at Fonda for the meet and greet. Because
and
that's
Lord
what
have
plan
mercy.
Was.
Norm Benning is scheduled to race this race up at Dover. Norm Benning will be back in the six truck. Longtime independent driver, owner, Norm Benning has put himself in the entry list for the Dover truck race this weekend.
I'll just let you know that his practice was he only took 5 practice laps, and he came in at 31st place. So there's only 2 drivers higher than him, and one of them is the 34 truck, and there's no driver for it, and the other one is Jennifer Jo Cobb. So I want to thank Norm Benning for spending his money to get his truck in and helping the pot. What's that?
The field fillers.
Right, exactly. So it goes Ford, Chevy, Toyota, Ford, Toyota. I'm seeing a trend here. there's only two Chevys in the top 10. I'm sorry, three Chevys in the top 10. Moffitt and Friesen. Moffitt rounded out final practice second by a whisker, by not very much. So Stuart Friesen was third in final practice. So obviously I'm going to go with Stewie for the truck series. I'm going to go at the 00 again, Cole Custer, in the Xfinity series and in the Cup series. I already told you who I was going for, and that is Mr. Boyer, or as I like to call him, Cash's dad.
Cash's dad, that's right. Yep, and good luck to Gary Gaulding. He's got a chance to race for the Dash for Cash after a good finish at Talladega. They have a returning sponsor that will help him race this weekend as he gets a chance for the Dash for Cash. Like it just
and it's not Gary, it's Gray.
Gray, I'm sorry, Gray Gaulding. I'm sorry, you're exactly right. And I was reading his name. Yeah,
you were reading his name and couldn't read it right.
I was reading his name and couldn't even read it right. Exactly. So,
oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah. Well, race fans, we're through the third segment of the night. It's no use in going into the fourth. We didn't get a shout-out today from our producer, Mr. CJ Sports, so we'll have to bring him on next time and start picking his brain on some of the stuff we've talked about. But hope that you tune into our normal time on Monday night. This coming up Monday is we'll be back on the air then. I want to thank y'all for listening to the show. Craig, do you have anything before we go?
Yeah, real quick. Last weekend was the second annual Morchie Music Karaoke Contest. Want to congratulate the winners from that. First, second, and third was first place was Pamela Spicer. Second place was Ray Nellis. Third place was Melanie. I can't think of her last name. But that was a huge success. So we've already started planning 2020. Fonda, Albany Saratoga Friday night, Fonda Saturday for their meet and greet. Sunday, Glenridge Motorsports Park opens up. So hopefully if it's a little warmer, we might head over to Glenridge this Sunday. Not quite sure yet, but I got a full weekend DJing schedule. And Dana just said bye-bye. It's a little too chilly for her just yet. But I got a full weekend DJ schedule. Friday night I play at the regular location, Snowed In Bar. Then Saturday I'm doing a grand opening for a restaurant called Let's Twist Again, which is a 50s and 60s style diner. And then Saturday afternoon I go about 5 miles down the road for the annual American Legion Riders Post 337 Pig Roast, and that's from 4 to 8. So we're gonna be super busy this weekend, but make sure you get to your local track, support them. If you're in my neck of the woods, come on out for all three events on Friday and Saturday. Chris, I know you're at Why Not Motorsports Park Saturday night. You're going to attempt to call a race, and I know you will sound intelligent.
Of course,
if you have
of course
a voice.
I will. Yeah, I always do a fantastic job. Just unfortunately, we've been in this cycle with moisture that's been coming through. It's a beautiful 86 degrees here today, but the
Fight
forecast
me.
Is going to change for Saturday, and we have near about 100% chance of shower. Columbus Speedway had a big race going on this weekend for Saturday as well. They've already called the race and rescheduled it for June. And Hattiesburg Speedway, we're waiting to get a call from them whether or not they're going to go Friday night racing or try to race on Saturday night. Hattiesburg has made a couple of calls this year to race the day early or race the day late, depending on weather. So we are sitting back and waiting to see if maybe in the next hour or so we get a confirmation of what they're deciding to do. I would almost bet that they're going to go ahead and wait and see what the weather's done, what weather does on Saturday, since it was the time of the race schedule. And not probably enough time to get things arranged otherwise. But we will keep our eye on that and share any details if we find out. And as of right now, Why Not Motorsports Park is racing Saturday night. So if our gates are open, we want you to be there. It's free admission, guys. Come on in through the grandstands.
sit down, get you a bite to eat, and enjoy some great dirt track racing there at the House of Hook, Minot Motorsports Park. As for everybody else, thank you very much. If you're anywhere around this area, make sure that you stop by, support your local tracks, and we'll see y'all next Monday.
See you Monday. Good night, everybody.
Yeah.